Does anyone have any questions about anything that we've shared that we can clarify?
I actually had a question. I just listening to you both speak, I'm struck by kind of this, the depth of reflection in the sense that it's almost like normal for you to go right now to see the world in this reflective space of being aware of, you know, what's going on inside you, and then observing what that means in terms of being a human being, and then also being tuned in with nature. And the question that, it's kind of a silly question, but the question that comes to my mind is, I mean, were you always like that? What was that point in your lives when you went from, you know, just moving around in those sensory, being a human being type of person to stopping and reflecting on, wait a second, I don't want to be blindly ruled by my senses. I want, what is this, and what is the really deeper reason that I'm here? And I don't know. Were you born like that, or what prompted that in each of you?
Absolutely. As soon as I was born, my father looked at me and said, "This dude is different." Not. No. I was. Do you remember I mentioned the sex addict part? Did I mention the drug part? Did I mention the motorcycle part? Did I mention the in the army and a paratrooper part? Did I mention the Green Beret part? See, there were some other parts I didn't mention. I thought those were really cool parts at the time. But actually, I was in so much pain, I had no idea. And that pain that I was in and didn't have any idea about was controlling my behavior, my words and what I said, what I did. And that was creating consequences in my life. Namely, people didn't want to get really close to me. And I'd go into coffee shops where I lived in North Beach in San Francisco. Oh, here we are in the Bay Area. You know where North Beach is. So that's where I lived for 13 years. And I'd go to coffee shops with my friends. And my friends were just like me. Arrogant, feeling superior, intellectual. And we'd have conversations mostly about physics and philosophy, and mostly in detrimental terms to other physicists and other philosophers. In the meantime, there are really wonderful people all around us reading the paper and sipping cafe and thinking about wonderful things and the connections they have in their life, but they were invisible to me because I was only attracting to me people like my energy. That's the law of attraction. So now I attract loving people like you. So you're saying, how did that happen? I mean, that's a big step. Our adopted Sioux uncle told me once, said, "Tonshka, nephew, the biggest journey you're going to make in your life is from here to here." Oh, was he right? That's a long way. And I'm still, I think, maybe 65% here, 77% here. 93% here. But that means the rest of me is here. And that's the part I use as my guide now. And I have to distinguish between the two, between fear and love. Well, I don't have to. But if I want to create different consequences in my life than I created when I was not conscious of the fears that I had, then I have to. In other words, when I was in my 20s, when I was in the army, I had a particular kind of behavior. I was too frightened to even consider the idea that I was frightened. Do you know what the clinical name for that is? Macho. It's a really painful place to live, and that's why macho people are so dangerous. They're explosive. They don't have a place in the sun. Actually, they do, but they don't feel it. And they've got to prove it in every way, all the time. Just like a banker has got to get more and more money, and a startup entrepreneur has got to make it big and sell his company, and someone on the street has got to get dreadlocks that are down to here, because down to here is not as impressive. All of that is the pursuit of external power, the ability to control and manipulate other people. With anything you have, your intelligence, your appearance, your education, your wealth, your new mountain bike. And that's what our world is made of. That's the world we've inherited from five sensory humans. And they were doing their best, a lot of them. Actually, everybody does their best. Even those with the worst behavior. And once you begin to see that, then compassion, the Buddhists have this lovely word, arises. It just wasn't there, but now it's here. And your heart begins to melt. So it took a lot of work. And that's the work I was talking about, the multisensory perception. That was a gift. It just sort of started to come. But authentic power doesn't just sort of start to come.
What does that mean? Multisensory perception started to come. What does that mean?
Oh, it means... Have you ever talked to an angel? Or thought that you have? Well, just the thought that maybe you have or are, that's a multisensory perception. I'm not saying believe it just because the thought occurs to you, but don't dismiss it either. If you think you're talking with an angel, what's the angel saying? What's it saying to you? And if I did that, what would that create? Would it be something constructive in my life or not? If not, you're not talking with an angel. But be open. Do you see what I mean? It's, have you ever had the thought? Oh, I'll paraphrase a poem by Juan Ramon Jimenez, the Spanish Nobel laureate. It's called I Am Not I. And he says, I am not I. I am this one standing beside me whom I cannot see, whom at times I manage to visit, and at other times I forget. The one who speaks softly when I hate. The one who walks where I am not. The one who will remain standing when I die. Do you think Juan Ramon was multisensory? Mm-hmm. And we are becoming multisensory too. When you look at the world, a five-sensory person thinks the world is random. You've got good luck or you've got bad luck. Multisensory individual looks at the world and he sees himself or herself reflected in it. The world becomes meaningful, symbolic. It's not other and outside. It's intimate. The entire universe is intimate. These are all multisensory perceptions. And that's what I mean when I say they start to happen.
So I know that you probably weren't expecting us to be talking tonight, but I would really love to hear from you and hear what you're thinking. You have a question? Yeah. I think there's a microphone. Yeah.
I'm really glad to be hearing you. Thank you. I had a little more question about how you align your personality with your soul. I've started in now more decades than I thought on the spiritual path. I thought I would be further along, so I'm happy to hear you talk about your process. And as I go through patterns again, right now I'm looking for a job in Silicon Valley, which is a very heady place, and I have a spiritual base, and I'd like to align my personality with my soul, and sometimes it feels like a bit of a struggle, because I have this idea that my soul, you're supposed to be poor and chaste, and you know, I'm trying to align, how do I be spiritual in the world and follow my soul, because I would like to do that. I like the flow, and sometimes it feels I'm struggling with myself.
I'm Jennifer.
Well, for me, what I do every day is to see how I can create with love no matter what. So I'm always looking at every choice that I make, and is it from love or is it from fear? And so it's always your intention. It doesn't matter what it is that you're making a decision about. Is it is the intention behind what you're doing, what you're going to act on, coming from love or is it coming from fear? So that's all how I always do my best, I should say, to make all of my decisions. I'm always looking at that. Because it's not the action that you're taking, it's why you're doing it. Is it coming from love or is it coming from fear? And that's just a question that I'm always asking myself, because that's the only way, I mean, that's how I align myself with my soul. I don't do that by creating with fear. I do that by creating with love more and more, no matter what the action is.
That helps a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
What Linda's talking about is intention. An intention is a quality of consciousness that infuses a deed or a word. And in the Earth School, there's just two intentions. You may think there's countless intentions. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a car. I'm going to get laid. I'm going to have children. I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to go skiing. But underneath all of these, you might call them out tensions, are two intentions, love and fear. And whenever you have fear in your body, you'll feel painful physical sensations in your chakra areas. Like, try it out. Jealousy, ooh, that's painful. Fear, anger, resentment. Whenever you have love in you, energy in you, it feels wonderful. Try that out. Try remembering to look inside in your chakra areas the next time you're feeling grateful and see what you feel like. And I don't mean grateful for someone because of what they can do for you or give you. I mean grateful because you're just grateful to be alive and you're grateful they're alive with you. That feels good. So then, after a while, you get the practice of choosing the loving intentions before you speak and before you act.
I was going to ask two, but I'm going to stick with one. First of all, it's great to have you guys here. One of the reflections that comes up for me is, I think every time we've interacted, I've felt that it's a very proactive path that you're on. It's not a feel good. It's that, but it's also, you know, dealing with the challenges. You have to address everything that comes. So I really appreciate that. The question that came up in my mind right now was about the seed of the soul, which I read for the first time almost, you know, 20 years ago. And I was thinking that the chapters in it are very precise, the topics that have been chosen, intention, karma, freedom, you know, every single thing is so precise. Where did that come from? Like, what was the inspiration and what was the process like writing that book?
I've discovered something. As I've discovered multisensory perception in me, it's not possible to be alone. That means it's impossible to create anything alone. So, these wonderful thoughts like we're talking about tonight and that are in the seat of the soul come from the universe. I'm not wise enough or smart enough to generate that, but I am smart enough to listen. I am smart enough to live my life according to wisdom when I recognize it. And that makes me the authority in my life, and creating authentic power makes you the authority in your life. So, does that mean I'm a channel? Oh, man, do I wish. You know, I would love to sit down at a keyboard and close my eyes and afterwards have a book that Oprah loves and it's on the New York Times bestseller list. I just keep my eyes closed and keep typing. There's only one problem with that. It wouldn't change me. And these books change me. And in order to begin to articulate and express the things that are really important in them, I have to go there myself. And it's hard, it really is. And sometimes as a writer, I don't know how many of you are writers, but isn't it all what I thought it was? It's a matter of being true to yourself. Well, yourself has got frightened parts and loving parts. Which one am I going to be true to? And by the way, when I say love, loving parts, I'm not talking about sentimental, romantic love. I'm not talking about heart-shaped boxes of candy and Valentine's cards. I'm talking about the most healthy, grounded, real, anchored, constructive, beneficial, contributing part of your personality. That's the loving part.
I just remembered something. You know, one thing that Gary and I always say, we weren't planning to talk, but we always tell people that what we're sharing is something that we have been learning from. We don't expect you to believe any of it, but take what you can, whatever supports you, use it. If it doesn't resonate with you, let it go. Because that's just what we share, because that's what resonates most with us and what we've been using to grow and change in ourselves. So I wanted to make sure we said that. Yeah. You had a question, yeah?
Yeah. I'm Don, and I read or heard somewhere that loving yourself means loving yourself even when you don't love yourself. And I'm finding now my heart is in a really good space. It's very easy for me to love lately. Love myself, love everyone around me. And I know from experience that there's other times that it's all dark, that I don't feel any love in my heart. And that's when it's the hard time to love myself and love other people. And I wonder, is there a way to sort of be my self-love? When I'm in this kind of open heart state, do you have any wisdom about how to use that to help me at the other times when it's dark and when I don't have that love?
You probably have some things to say too, but for me, I use the times when I feel really open-hearted, when I can really feel connected with the universe and everyone around me and everything around me. I remember that, first of all, when I'm feeling, you know, depressed or thinking I should know this before, I should have learned this long ago, or I want to give up, or feeling superior, whatever it is that I'm feeling that comes from fear, because all of the things I'm describing are all coming from fear. And so for me, it's so important for me to know this is a fear-based part of my personality, and I've come here to challenge it, to not let it control me. You know, and I sometimes can't remember that in the moment. You know, sometimes that happens that I can't. But as soon as I can, I make a different choice. And it may not be right in that moment, but it takes practice, and it takes commitment, and a lot of courage to move from a place of feeling like everything's not right to saying, okay, I'm going to feel where that is. I'm going to notice these thoughts, but I am not going to let this control me. And I'm going to choose something else and do whatever it is that you can, that's healthiest that you can in that moment. I remember one time, I felt probably one of the worst difficult times of my life. I had this time, and it lasted for days. I don't know how long it lasted, but it was quite a long time. And I just felt like I didn't care about anything. You know, I just felt flat. I just felt like I couldn't feel anything. I just felt, you know, like I didn't care about anything. I really can't explain the state, but it was really powerful. And I remember that, I heard a message on my voicemail, and I don't even know why I picked up my phone, because I didn't even care. I wasn't even answering my phone. I wasn't doing anything. But I picked up my phone and listened to this message, and a friend of mine had called me, and she wanted to talk to me. Like, she really needed some support. And I thought to myself, I can't help anybody. That was the thought that came, because I was in such a state. And then what happened is I thought, okay, well, I could call her and I could just listen. I can't say anything because there's nothing I could do to help anybody. That's, you know, I just did that. So I did. I called her. And the act of just thinking that and picking up the phone and calling, beginning to call, started changing me. Because it's like, this is how I describe it. I feel like because I even took just a moment, just a little bit of change in myself, just to begin to change that really strong state I was in. I felt like all this help came in from the universe, just started pouring in and helping me. And so by the end of the conversation, I was totally engaged and totally supportive of her. And I had that whole state of depression or whatever it was gone. And I remember that, you know, it's something that happened many, many years ago, but I still remember that. And it reminds me of just the thought of helping someone else, of doing something different to go in the direction, that direction when you're in that much control of a frightened part, can begin to change things. And it made such a difference for me. And so I know it's possible, and I've used that many times to think about that, knowing that's what I need to do, is just want to do something caring towards someone else. Yeah, big change. I don't know if that was that helpful.
That's something I know is the thing I need to do. Yeah.
Yes, and the other thing is that I have people around me that are my spiritual partners. And what I mean by that is a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And what that means, I'm not just talking about Gary, I'm talking about other people in my life, like our grandchildren, people that are in our programs. They're our spiritual partners. You know, I love that, because let's say I'm in a fear-based part of my personality, but I'm not aware of it. You know, I'm doing something that I'm not aware of. They will say something to me, because I say I want that. And it's so thrilling to me to have that happen. It's so thrilling. Not in the moment, those frightened parts don't really like it, but I'm thrilled inside of me. I'm thrilled about that, because that's the kind of partnership I feel that eventually we all are going to come together to be. We're going to say what we really need to say to each other, and from love. You know, if Gary says something to me, well, I'll give you an example. Our granddaughters one day, this will be an easy one. I was in the kitchen, and our granddaughters were visiting us. Our family was visiting us, and they were, I don't know, they were pretty young, but maybe 10 or 12 or something like that, maybe 8 and 10, I don't remember exactly. But so they're sitting in the kitchen and I'm making some food. I think I was making a smoothie. But I was in a hurry, and I had gotten caught in a frightened part that was impatient and trying to get things done quick. And, you know, I'm just like running around the kitchen trying to get everything done. And so I could tell. So they're sitting in the kitchen, kind of like this, and they're whispering to each other. I could see them out of the corner of my eye. They're whispering, and so one of them, the older one, says, "Grandma, I think you're in a frightened part of your personality right now." And it made me laugh so hard that I was instantly out of it, you know, because they had never done that before. You know, they had never had the courage to say something like that to me. And I, because we've been talking to them about it since they were very small, you know, about how you can, you know the different parts of your personality. You don't have to be controlled by them, and we can support each other in that. But, you know, like grandparents and don't usually have relationships with their grandchildren, so the grandchildren can say something to the grandparent, you know? And so it's a little different, you know, different kind of a relationship. But it's so exciting to me to have relationships like that, to really have that possibility. And I know it's possible because I see it happening now all the time, where we're really helping each other. Because how good is that to support each other when we see something, so that we really accelerate each other's growth, right? You can say the things like loving things to each other. Wow, that was so beautiful what you said. You know, I could tell it came from love. I'm so grateful, you know, for appreciate you. But we can also say the things about the things we notice if we have an agreement. Now, you have to have an agreement with someone. You can't just like run up and say, I think you're in a fear-based part. I don't know if you should be doing that, you know? It's not like that. It's more, you know, just an agreement that you have between two people. And that's, I think you can tell, I'm excited about this, because this is the thing I've been really, Gary and I have been working on for a while in our events, and we just feel like with each other for a really long time. But it just seems like, for me, the cutting edge of relationship, how we can really be in a true relationship. I think Nipun calls it a noble friendship, which is to me the same. It's like when you have that agreement with each other that you can actually really support each other in growth. And that's exciting. I know that wasn't your question, but you can tell I'm excited about that.
Thank you for letting us be here and share these things. To me, they're the nectar of life. They're the things that are really significant, which means your life. That's what's really significant in your life. So thank you, Harshida, and thank you, Dinesh, for allowing us to be here. And thank you for coming and sharing your love with us. The good love, you know, not the, you know, we talked about that.